You are now listening to Talk Loud Radio. Sports, nerds, and pop culture.
What is going on, guys? All right, welcome to episode 19 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. You can follow the show at Talk Loud Podcast, as well as on TalkLoudRadio.com. Of course, subscribe to us at all your usual places, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio, anywhere you get your podcast, we should be there. You can always find us also at GoingForTwo.com, and we are usually streaming on the Going For Two app. But currently the app is having some issues. I got my developers working on it, so hopefully we'll have the app up here pretty soon so you can stream live on the app again. You can catch our live broadcast every Tuesday night by visiting the Going For Two fan page. Just check out that on Facebook. All right, guys. Well, tonight's guest is a little bit of a break from the norm. We don't normally do college basketball, but it is March. It is March Madness. So I decided to go ahead and bring somebody on, talk some college basketball. For those that don't know, I'm not a huge college basketball fan. I do my brackets like everybody else does, but I don't follow it, you know, like I do the NBA. So we're going to bring on tonight's guest is Mike Truth. He's a basketball insider. You can follow him on Twitter at King of B-Ball News. Mike, how you doing tonight, man?
Man, of course. I had to come on with the Talk Loud Nation to bring the truth and nothing but the truth, man. Let's get it going.
Sweet, sweet. Sounds good, man. Glad to have you on. I know we kind of got a mutual friend with Courtney. I've been on his show. You've been on his show. It's kind of good to kind of link up with you and get you on my show as well. So before we get into the actual Sweet 16 and March Madness, why don't you give our listeners a little bit about yourself, kind of what you do?
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's just basketball. I'm here for all the fans in the world. Of course, to me, it's the number one sport in the world. Of course, I played college basketball. As soon as I got done playing, right into the broadcasting aspect of it. I've been writing for around 6 years now, working for SB Nation, ESPN Radio, AAU. I'm huge on the grassroots circuit. Of course, that's my specialty. And a lot of things I like to say is, of course, you know, a lot of basketball insiders on Twitter, they don't want to talk to fans. That's not... I'm here for the people, man. If anybody has a question, they can hit me up on Twitter. We can talk all day, all night. I'm basketball purist as they come. So I'm just happy to be here, and hopefully we can do it again.
Sweet. Sounds good. Yeah, again, guys, follow him on Twitter. A great follow, at King of B-Ball News. Definitely a good follow there. All right, well, let's just jump right into the some of the tournament talk here. Before we get into the Sweet 16, which starts on Thursday night, let's kind of take a look back at what's happened in the tournament so far. What do you feel about the tournament? Has it lived up to your expectations? Or you know, how do you feel overall about how things have gone so far?
Absolutely, absolutely. I always tell my football fans, my NBA Finals fans, listen, March Madness is the best sporting event in the world, point. Period. Because the truth said it, and it has to be true, man. Listen, all of these upsets, that's what it's made for. The underdog. Any small school in the world, they can win the title. You can't say that about any other sport in the world. So that's why I think it's the number one sport. I think all the upsets have made it perfect. We still have the big-time schools in, like Duke and Kansas. So I just can't wait. I'm ready for the Sweet 16 to get going.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on being the best thing in sports. You know, I watch, obviously, the NFL. I watch NBA. You know, I watch this time of year for March Madness, and it is legit. I mean, to the start of the tournament, you really have no idea. I mean, you've got, you know, your favorites to win it all, but the favorites don't always win. You know, it's tough to go, you know, straight through without losing a game to get to that title game. You have one bad game, you're out the tournament. You know, unlike the NBA where you got seven game series, you know, you got to win straight through to get to the top there. And even though small schools have a chance, you know, it may be a slim chance, but they do have a chance. And just watching the passion of, you know, these college kids is, you know, it's pretty amazing to see, you know, these guys, you know, they've been fighting all year long. It comes down to basically one game, one possession. It's you know, it's nothing else like it in sports for sure.
And that's the thing. You said it yourself. It's the passion and the desire. You can see it on the kids' faces. Some of these kids will never play basketball again in their lives. They're playing with their best friends, sweat, tears, every single day. I had a discussion with kind of argument on Twitter with the legendary Charles Barkley when he said the NBA is better than college basketball. And I'm just telling him, like, come on, man, these kids, they're doing everything for free. The NCAA is making billions off of them. This is the only thing they have in front of the world. We might never hear from these kids again, but this one shining moment, that's the best thing in their lives. So, of course, I think it's better. And like you said, in the NBA, it's always the best team is going to win. You have to beat them four times. In the NCAA, if you have a bad game, that's it.
Definitely, definitely. And speaking of bad games, you know, you really can't talk about the tournament this year without mentioning UMBC. Of course, they're the first... The first 16 seed to knock off a number one, beating UVA, who actually had in the finals. So that kind of killed my bracket right off the bat. Talk about that game a little bit. You know, what did you think of it? Did anybody possibly predict that game? And just kind of overall, what your thoughts of that game was?
Well, they don't call me the truth for nothing, because I did predict a 16 would beat a one at the beginning of the season. I didn't quite predict that it would be Virginia, but like I said, UMBC is a terrific team. People that don't know about them, in the season, they were number one in their league all year long. They lost their conference title, and that's the reason that they received the 16 seed. They have a senior-laden team. One of their star players, he transferred twice. He was on Shaka Smart's VCU team when they made their run a few years ago. So they're a talented team, but no one saw this. Virginia was the overall number one seed in the entire tournament. I just didn't see this happening. But when the game got going, you can see Virginia's defense struggled to stop this team, because their number one player, a player that people really didn't realize as the season got going, he became Virginia's number one player. And as I said, as the game kept continuing to go, they could not stop them from scoring. Virginia plays a man-to-man style D, and it just didn't work. And as you know, when a team feels that they get confident and they can score on you, oh, man, that's it. And that's what happened. They gained confidence in the game, and a 20-point win came about.
Yeah, definitely. I think I saw a stat somewhere that I want to say it was Elias Sportsbrew that tweeted it out, but the 20-point loss was the third highest margin of victory, or I guess margin of loss for a number one seed for any level of the tournament, no matter if they were, you know, Final Four, Sweet 16, whatever. And they did it in the very first round, so a pretty amazing accomplishment. I tuned in about halftime because someone texted me. I was kind of busy with, you know, cooking dinner and everything. Someone texted me, hey, you got to tune this in because this, you know, this game's getting really good. So I tuned in, and that kid Lyles, man, I mean, he impressed me. They could not stop him. And everything he threw up there was going in. I mean, sometimes it was like a bad shot. Oh, it went in. You know what I mean? It was just amazing to watch. It kind of reminded me a little bit of when Steph Curry and Davidson made their run, and Steph Curry just was hitting everything that he was throwing up there. It kind of reminded me of that a little bit. It was fun to watch.
Absolutely. And the last kid, that's the one I was telling you about. He started off at VCU with Shaka Smart. And I spoke with many scouts about him, NBA scouts. He's definitely on the radar. He's kind of small for a two-guard, around 6'2", 6'3". But I think the heart this kid showed in the NCAA tournament, a team will definitely give him a shot in a summer league. And hopefully we'll see what he can do.
Definitely, definitely. So as far as a 16 beating a one, do you think this is it was good for the game, or do you think it's bad for the game overall?
Oh, I think it's great for the game. Like we discussed in the beginning, it gives every single school, small, medium size, whatever, a chance to win it all. And it puts these kids on the map. When March comes, we never heard of these kids. But when March comes, they know. They can become a household name. So college basketball, I just see it continue to go up. When March comes around, there's nothing else better.
Definitely, definitely. All right, let's look at some of the other games there. We've had quite a few upsets. I know one of the nights I was working and my phone must have gone off 3 or 4 times with ESPN alert saying so-and-so just upset so-and-so. It seemed to be every few minutes I was getting an upset alert. Obviously UMBC was the biggest one there, but as far as the other upsets go, is any of them that really surprised you and kind of what's your top upset?
Oh, man, definitely the number one upset was UMBC. But the team that's still rolling, Sister Jean Squad, the almighty Loyola Chicago, I think that team has what it takes, man. They're rolling right now. They have another matchup against Nevada coming up. I think they can win that one and make it to the Elite Eight against, hopefully, Kentucky. But that definitely surprised me. The thing about this tournament, it's kind of different. So everyone is already discussing the Cinderella. There's too many Cinderellas. They want the big blue bloods to be there. I agree. But the thing that I don't like is these teams that's not great, but they're okay. A lot of them have won, like Kansas State. They won Nevada, Florida State, Michigan, Texas A&M. Teams that's okay, but they're not great teams. I don't like that. I want to see the big of the big, like UK, Connecticut, Syracuse, Duke, the big name schools against the Cinderella. I think that makes a great storyline. And if we could see more of that, I think it'd be even better.
I agree. I actually live in the Washington, D.C. area, close enough to UMBC. I'm about an hour away from UMBC. And sort of the buzz around here was very similar to when George Mason made their Final Four run. You know, just seeing all the fans and just how that, you know, that Cinderella sort of thing brings everyone together in that area. And it's fun to watch. Unfortunately, they lost in the next round, but it still gets excitement around. You know, my wife doesn't even watch basketball, doesn't even watch football. She barely watches football. And even she knew about UMBC because she works in Maryland and everyone was talking about it there
absolutely.
As well. So,
Absolutely. That's the great thing about it. Like, you don't have to be a basketball insider to have the best bracket. My grandmother never watched basketball ever. Might win the bracket challenge. You know what I mean? That just brings so many people together, man. It's awesome. I can just say that. It's awesome.
Definitely. You kind of already mentioned Loyola Chicago. I was going to talk about them a little bit, being the last, or I guess one of the Cinderellas still in the tournament. Are they kind of your dark horse to make the Final Four? You think they can get that far?
No. I think they can win the Sweet 16 game against Nevada. They have a senior-laden team. I like their team a lot. They don't have a superstar player. They have one kid that's from SUNY in Chicago High School, played with Jabari Parker. He's a nice talent. He's the one who hit the game-winning three in the first round. But I just think the level of talent is going to rise as they succeed because Kentucky is in the next round. So hopefully they beat Nevada. But then I think they'll lose to Kentucky in the round of Elite Eight.
Sounds good. Yeah, I think I'm kind of like you. I want to see, you know, the Cinderellas versus the big boys, and seeing that game with Chicago versus Kentucky, that would be a big matchup for sure. I'm sure everyone will be tuning into that game. All right, let's talk a little bit about some of the players in this tournament. Of course, a lot of players kind of make a name for themselves, as you mentioned before. Lyles, of course, stands out for UMBC, but as far as some of the other players that have sort of stood out in this tournament, who you got?
Yeah, so I've been getting, of course, you know, I'm huge on the NBA draft. I put out a top lottery pick selections every single month. And I constantly am in contact with scouts and GMs. The thing that I'm hearing a lot is the big time, you know, top 5, top 10 players, they've already lost. They're already gone. Trae Young, he lost. DeAndre Ayton, he lost. But it's still some major talent left. We can start, of course, with Kentucky. They have two guys that are definitely going to be in the lottery this year. Kevin Knox, he's a 6'9", 6'10", small forward type of player, can shoot the three, can drive. He actually was a quarterback. His dad played in the NFL. He was a quarterback in high school until he grew to about 6'7", 6'8". So he stuck to basketball. But scouts love him. I think he'll be in the top 10. Shea Alexander, he's a point guard for Kentucky. He's around 6'6", That's what separates him from a lot of point guards. Smooth guard, not really athletic, but can get wherever he wants to on the court with his length. Has really showed this year that, man, his ceiling is very high. He came into Kentucky kind of a not the big name recruit. He wasn't even supposed to be a starter, but he became a superstar this year. They struggled early, but he became a leader, and a lot of scouts are talking about this kid. He could be the third point guard taken after Colin Sexton and Trae Young. So after that, it's really is a major drop-off. Texas A&M has a good kid. Williams, he's a big man, probably around 6'9", back to the basket, very athletic. And other than that, that's it. Duke is the last team with a big-time player. Marvin Bagley is the third. Everyone knows this kid. Before Michael Porter got hurt, he could have been the number one pick. Behind DeAndre Ayton, he probably is now, probably around 2 or 3. A 6'10", left hand, he reminds me of Chris Bosh a lot. I think he'll be a big-time talent in the league. And like I said before, a lot of scouts saying right now the big-time talent is gone, but that's just to name a few that's left in the tournament.
Nice, nice. What about on the opposite spectrum? Is there anybody that kind of came in as a hot player and sort of disappointed so far to this point in the tournament?
Man, I mean, we can go back to ESPN Cinderella kid, Trae Young. Man, ESPN got a hold of him. He was just on ESPN every single minute. I mean, I'm watching the game. He can tie his shoe, and they're like, oh, my God, did you see how he tied his shoe? It was amazing. Like, relax, man, relax. But I've been watching this kid since he was in the 10th grade in Oklahoma. Excuse me. And dynamic point guard. His father played at Texas Tech, so he's used to that high level of basketball. He was going. People don't know this, but he was going to sign with Kentucky. That was the plan. But Kentucky is not the team that waits for a guy to sign, so they offered another big time point guard, and he signed early. So Trae Young stayed on in Oklahoma, had a phenomenal year. Had a phenomenal year. But as you know, this kid is 18 years old. A lot of pressure hit him. He was on SportsCenter every day, teams throwing triple teams at him. And his game kind of slipped a little. And pro scouts, they see that. You know, he's still small. He's a 6'1" guard, very tiny, probably around 170. Doesn't defend at a high level, but I think he's gone from being a 5'6" pick in the draft to now I'm dropping to the late lottery pick.
Wow.
So I'm definitely going to keep an eye at him. I'm going to go see him in a few workouts, and hopefully he can get back up there.
Good deal. All right, let's looking at these 8 games here in the Sweet 16. If you had to pick one game that you could watch, only one, which game are you watching?
Oh, man, that's a hard one. In the round of Sweet 16, it's really not a great matchup. But I would have to pick Villanova, West Virginia. Definitely have to pick that one. Villanova right now, to me, is playing the best out of every team left in the tournament. And West Virginia, if you know West Virginia, that's Bob Huggins. They play tremendous defense. That's going to be a battle. And I think that'll be the most interesting round of 16 game.
All right, good deal. I'll make sure to tune into that game because, as I said before, I'm not a huge fan, but I will catch games when I get a chance, so I'll make sure I catch that one for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll take a quick commercial break here, and then when we come back, we'll get your Sweet 16 picks, and we'll talk a little bit about some draft prospects a little bit more as well. You ready to do that?
Let's do it.
Do you need advice for your fantasy football team? How about your DraftKings or FanDuel lineup? GoingFor2.com has you covered. GoingFor2.com has exclusive content from some of the best fantasy writers in the industry, whose credentials include Bleacher Report, Fantasy Pros, and Fantasy Life. From advice columns to player ranks, GoingFor2.com has it all. Sign up for our newsletter to have all of our content sent to your inbox. Start winning today. Visit goingfor2.com because no one remembers the extra point.
Today's show is brought to you by Daily Fantasy Nerd. They have everything you need to build better lineups. You can analyze stats, view up-to-the-minute Vegas lines, check player game logs, import and manage your own projections, build optimal lineups, and a bankroll tracker. To get started for free, visit goingfortwo.com/dailyfantasynerd. That's goingfortwo.com/dailyfantasynerd. Start winning today. All right, welcome back. We are here with Mike Truth, basketball insider, just an all-around basketball purist. Of course, you can find him on Twitter at King of B-Ball News. All right, Mike, we're ready to talk some Sweet 16 and get some of your picks here. You ready to do that?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll start up with the top here. We got we'll go ahead and get that game that we started here with at the end of the break here. We'll go with Villanova, West Virginia. What do you think of this game? Which way do you think it goes?
All right, so I have Villanova winning, but I wouldn't be surprised if West Virginia takes the upset. They just defend at a high level. Villanova has a great point guard in Brunson, so that's the reason at the end of the day I think he'll control the pace and he'll get that dub.
Hello?
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we lost you there for a minute. All right, so you
I picked Villanova.
All right, taking Villanova. All right, let's go with Kansas State versus Kentucky. Number 9 Kansas State versus number 5 Kentucky. Who you got?
Man, you know Big Blue Nation all day, every day. I think Kentucky, they'll win this game probably 10 points, 11 points, somewhere in that range. I just think Kentucky talent right now is just at an all-time high. Best starting five in college basketball right now. I think they'll take it.
All right, sounds good. And then let's go with the team we talked about earlier, Loyola Chicago versus number 7 Nevada. And you said you wanted the number 11 Chicago to win, but do you think they actually get it?
The Cinderella. I don't know, man. I think that's a tough one. I want Loyola Chicago to win, but I just think Nevada right now is playing at an all-time high with a big upset over Cincinnati. Let's go. I'm going with Loyola. Let's go with Loyola.
All right, stay with your heart. I got you.
Yeah, gotta do it.
All right, we'll go with the next one's going to be number 9 Florida State versus number 4 Gonzaga. Who you got in this one?
Florida State shocked the world with that big win over number 1 seed Xavier. But Gonzaga right now, they have so much talent. They don't follow basketball enough to know Gonzaga right now. Gonzaga has as much talent as Kentucky. They recruit at a high level, and they find kids that, man, people do not know about. They have a huge front line, 6'9", 6'8", 6'7", as power forward, center, and small forward. So I think that size will be too much for Florida State. I'm going to go with Gonzaga.
All right, taking Gonzaga, good thing, because even though my bracket's busted because I had I had UVA and Michigan State in the championship game. I had Gonzaga in the Final Four, so I'm looking for a little bit of a consolation prize if I can get them in the Final Four. All right, let's go to the next one. We got number 3 Michigan versus number 7 Texas Tech.
Texas A&M, 7.
I'm sorry, Texas A&M. You're right.
Yeah. So, definitely think this is Texas A&M's game to win. Michigan was supposed to lose to Houston. If you watch that game, they really snuck it out with a last-second shot by a freshman. Texas A&M dominated a North Carolina team that many thought would win it all. They have an NBA prospect at power forward, another big that's playing out of his mind. I've got to go with Texas A&M right now.
All right, Texas A&M it is. All right, let's go to the other number 1 seed in the tournament right now. We got number 1 Kansas versus number 5 Clemson.
Man, Clemson is playing so good right now. They blew out a great Auburn team, but I still think Kansas, they're just loaded talent-wise. Malik Newman, a former Mississippi State player, former McDonald's All-American, is playing at a huge pace right now. I think they'll knock off Clemson.
All right. And then we've got Texas Tech, number 3 Texas Tech versus number 2 Purdue. Who you got?
So I was actually at the Texas Tech game here in Dallas in the game against Florida. What a great environment for college basketball. Texas Tech has a team that I wouldn't be shocked to, that goes to the Final Four. That's how well they're playing right now. Purdue lost their big man. I'm going to have to go with Texas Tech.
All right. And the last one we got here is the other 11 seed Cinderella, Syracuse versus number 2 Duke. Who you got in this one?
Gotta go with Coach K, baby. Listen, man, Duke, they're right now playing at an all-time high. Like I said before, I think they're playing with the most talented player in the tournament right now. Marvin Bagley can do everything on the floor. People love to hate Mr. Grayson Allen. I don't know why. I love his game. I think they have the talent. I think they already beat Syracuse one time this season. I think they'll beat them by double figures this time.
All right, all right. There you have it. The Sweet 16 picks. Hopefully you got some of those teams in your bracket. Mike Truth gives you the truth. He picked those guys. Hopefully,
I gave him the truth, man. Y'all better take what I say. Take it back to your office and the water cooler. Let's go.
Definitely. All right. Well, you kind of already touched on some of the NBA prospects in this thing. I just wanted to kind of get you your idea on some of the late round guys, not late round guys, but further down the line, you know, guys that kind of came out of nowhere, like a Donovan Mitchell type player or Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
You know, guys that may not be going high in the draft that might surprise them to get to the NBA. Who you got?
Yeah, definitely. It's quite a few. There's one kid I'm really looking at to see how well he performs in the rest of the tournament, and that's point guard for Texas Tech, Keenan Evans. This kid is a senior. He's from Dallas. He's had an extraordinary career at Texas Tech. Of course, Texas Tech hasn't had the success, but his senior year, he's put up great numbers. He got hurt late in the season. That's the reason he didn't win Big 12 Player of the Year over Kansas point guard Graham. But this kid can play. He's around 6'3", so high size, not super quick. But he reminds me of a taller version of Tim Hardaway.
Okay.
He has a great handle, can pull up, can defend. I'm interested to see how well he does the rest of the tournament.
All right. All right, good deal. All right, let's go ahead and close it out here. I want you to give me your picks that you had for the championship game before the tournament started, and then I want you to give me your picks on who you have with who's left in the tournament.
Let's go, man. Of course, in the East, I got Villanova. I had Villanova before. They'll continue to make the run to the Final Four. In the Midwest, I had Kansas. They're still riding strong. I think they'll definitely take care of business against Clemson. It's going to be a tough game against Duke in the Elite Eight, but I got Kansas. I still think they'll make it through. In the South, I think everybody in the South region is terrible right now. I had Arizona. They took a huge loss in the first round to Buffalo. I think the team that had come out the South, that's a tough one. But I go with Kentucky. I think they're rolling right now, so I think they'll come out the South. In the West, I still got Gonzaga. I had Gonzaga before. I picked them to upset North Carolina. North Carolina is gone. So I think Gonzaga can make it out of the West. So that's the Final Four right there. Villanova, Kansas, Kentucky, and Gonzaga.
All right. And who you got in the championship game? Who'd you pick for your bracket first? You said you had Villanova. Who'd you have them playing?
Yeah, I had Villanova playing Gonzaga.
Okay, all right. So you're just basically sticking to that then, right? Villanova,
I'm
Gonzaga.
I'm sticking to it, man. I think that'll work out. I still think Villanova can win it all.
Sweet, sweet. I hope Gonzaga at least makes the Final Four, because at least I got that one right, because I was pretty upset when, you know, because I kind of went UVA because, you know, I'm in Virginia, so I kind of was like, all right, I'm going to go for the hometown team. And then my boss at work is a big Michigan State fan. He actually went to Michigan State. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go ahead and take them because he's all about them. He went and put a ton of money on them down in Vegas. And so I was like, all right, if he's willing to put money on them in Vegas, I'm going to take him in my bracket. But, man, I got screwed. So so hopefully Gonzaga at least makes the Final Four so I can at least say that, because no one liked that pick when I made it. They're like, Gonzaga in the Final Four? I was like, well, you know, that's just what I'm going to roll with. So hopefully that pans out for me.
Absolutely.
All right, man. That wraps everything up, man. I appreciate you coming on. Definitely want to get you on again. Always willing to fit some basketball in. We do a lot of basketball here. We're getting ready to go into the NBA playoffs here shortly, so I'd love to get you back on, talk some NBA playoffs as well.
Absolutely, man. Let's do it.
All right, man. Once again, everyone out there, make sure you follow him on Twitter, at King of B-Ball News on Twitter. Definitely a good follow, and we'll be talking to you, man.
Well, I appreciate it. Have a good one.